Alrighty. Today is Monday, April 12th, 2021. This is a hearing board on docket number 21001, application from Granite Rock Company for a short-term variance. The hearing board officer for this is Michael Guth. My name is Anna Rourke, and I am the executive assistant for Monterey Bay Air Resources District. And this meeting is being recorded. With that, I will now turn the time over to Mr. Guth.
Thank you for that, Ann. I just want to say for everybody that I'm going to put everybody under oath, but this time I'll just do it as each time someone speaks for the first time, I'll just put them under oath at that point. And I'll ask everybody, should I forget that I haven't put you under oath when you speak, to remind me or prompt me, and let's make sure we capture all of that. So what I'd like to do is start with a staff report from Trevor. Is that something you can support now, Trevor?
You're on speaker, Trevor.
You're on mute.
Okay, there we go. Now you guys
can. And is that something, and then after Trevor does that, if I may have plenty of questions then, but also I'm not sure if the petitioner has a presentation they'd like to make also, and I guess I will ask, is it their expectation that they'll just answer questions, or is it their expectation that they'd like to make a presentation? So can Trevor, do you know, or do we know yet which one of those circumstances it is?
The petitioner has the choice whether they'd like to make that presentation or not.
Mr. This is Aaron Johnson, Granite Rock Company. Mr. Board Officer Member, we do not have a planned presentation at this time, but we have a team assembled to answer any questions you may have.
Very good. Thank you for that. And that got me thinking, since we might jump back and forth with people commenting or getting questions, I'm going to go ahead and swear everybody in at the beginning so that that's on the record. So I'm going to ask first who's expected to speak, even if less than fully likely, and so I can make a list. And I'm going to go to each person, and when I ask them to make the affirmation, to please say their name as well as the affirmation for the record. Unless there's not a reason to, other than Ann and Mary, is there any reason for me to not swear everybody in that's here? Is it possible that everybody might speak? Yeah, so I'll start with by telling everybody that I'm going to ask you to swear that everything that you say in this hearing is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that if you affirm that, to also state your name. And I'm going to go around my screen, starting with Aaron Johnston.
My name is Aaron Johnston. I do affirm that I take the oath.
Thank you. Mary Gerardo.
Mary Gerardo, I do.
Thank you. Ben Snow.
Ben Snow, I do.
Thank you. Cindy Searson.
Cindy Searson, I do.
Thank you. Teresa Sewell.
Teresa Sewell, I do.
Thank you. Seong Kim.
Seong Kim, I do.
Thank you. Reed Carter.
Reed Carter, I do.
Thank you. Henry Ramirez.
Henry Ramirez, and I do.
Thank you. Trevor Benitez.
Trevor Benitez, and I do.
Thank you. Joshua Bassanese.
Joshua Bassanese, and I do.
Thank you. Sorry about that. And very good. So now we can all talk more freely. Great. So thank you for that. And I'll ask for the staff report with Trevor, please. Thank you.
Sure. So this is a staff report from Air District staff. Summary, this variance request is to allow the operation of a 30 MMBTU per hour natural gas burner, which powers the rotary dryer portion of the petitioner's sand plant, in violation of the authority to construct GNR 018521, emission limits for CO, oxides of nitrogen, and VOCs. General facility description. The petitioner is in the business of operating sand mining, glass, and construction sand production plant for commercial purposes, and this plant is located at 405 Quail Hollow Road, Felton, California. This location operates under district permit. Background, in April 2020, petitioner applied to modify the existing sand plant permit to replace the rotary dryer natural gas burner. rated at 50 mmBTU per hour with a low NOx burner rated at 30 mmBTU per hour. The district issued the ATC 018521 for the burner replacement on June 30th, 2020. At the time of the burner installation in July 2020, the burner manufacturer notified petitioner that the natural gas meter and gas pressure would need to be adjusted for the burner to operate properly. The petitioner contacted PG&E in July 2020 to make these necessary changes. And on December 30th, 2020, petitioner conducted a source test that failed to meet the CO VOC emission limits of condition 6 in the ATC 018521. The subject of this variance is the petitioner's request to continue the operation out of compliance with the emission limits of the condition 6 in the ATC while petitioner waits for PG&E to replace the natural gas meter and change the gas pressure from 5 psi to 10 psi. I believe that's actually a mistake. I believe it was 10 to 5. And for the burner manufacturer to tune the burner after the PG&E work is completed. PG&E completed the natural gas line upgrades as of March 15, 2021, and the burner was tuned by the manufacturer on the 5th of April and the afternoon of the 6th, 2021. And the source test was conducted on April 8th, 2021. District and Granite Rock staff observed the source test on April 8th, which was conducted by Best Environmental. The variance request is a short-term variance that is required by Rule 207 and Condition Number 6 of ATC 18521, which limits CO emissions to 1 pound mmBTU or 1,351.56 ppm at 3% oxygen, NOx to 0.0438 pounds mmBTU or 36 ppm at 3% oxygen, and VOC to 0.0205 pounds per mmBTU or 48.38 ppm at 3% oxygen. Petitioner has included NOx, although this pollutant meets the emission limits during the December 30th source test due to the relationship between concentration of NOx and its relationship with CO. Duration. The variance timeline requested was from the date of application, which was March 12, 2021, to June 12, 2021. Based on the best information available at the conclusion of the April 8th source test, Granite Rock staff believes that the source test was passed and the burner is now in compliance with the emission limits of ATC 018521. Excess emissions have therefore been calculated on the timeline of March 12, 2021 to April 8th, 2021. Excess emissions, these are calculated potential excess emissions provided by the petitioner associated with its variance, 211 pounds of NOx, 80 pounds of VOC, and 8,258 pounds of CO. The fees calculated for these excess emissions for this variance are $5,899. The compliance history of this plant, the old burner historically met the permitted emission limits based on quarterly and annual testing requirements. District staff does not believe that this operation is expected to create public nuisances as defined in Rule 402. The facility has been operating the new burner since July 2020, and the district has not received any public nuisance complaints. Ambient air emission standards. The emissions involved in this variance are highly localized and are not likely to cause an exceedance of ambient air quality standards, and therefore, based on this summary, district staff does not oppose this variance. And this concludes the staff report.
Thank you for that. And I have some questions and sure. I'd like to go through some things. So first I want to go back to the authority to construct. So Mary Gerardo, I see your signature on that. So is that a thing that is able to be approved by staff or did that have to be run up to the board for approval or is that a staff approval?
That was approved by staff. The authority to construct, yes.
Okay, so I have a question then about the emission limit. So I looked at and I appreciate being sent this in Rule 2. I have a little stack of stuff in front of me here. But the if we go to page 25 of Rule 207, say 4.1, best available control technology. So when we come up with, when you or the districts comes up with the emission limits for the rotary dryer, condition 6 of the authority to construct. And these are parts per million at 3% O2 for oxides of nitrogen, volatiles, carbon monoxide, and oxides of sulfur. Can you share with me how those limits were formulated and created?
Okay, let me pull up the engineering evaluation really quick. Song, you might want to back me up. So the manufacturer provided the 36 as a guarantee. And let me pull up the evaluation. Song, do you know if it
tricked? Yeah. Yeah, so
backed?
Correct. So I did the calculation, and backed is required if two things. First off, if the permit unit in itself exceeds the 25 pounds per day of NOx or VOC. Second trigger, if the facility-wide emission exceeds 150 pounds per day of NOx, 150 pounds per day of VOC, CO 550 pounds per day, SOx 150 pounds per day, particulate matter 150 pounds per day, particulate matter PM10, PM10 is 82 pounds per day, and then PM2.5.
Sorry to interrupt, but that's table 4.1.1, the thresholds?
Correct. Yeah, so those thresholds. And so when I calculate the emissions, I used the manufacturer's guaranteed NOx emission rate of 36 ppm corrected to 3% O2. The manufacturer did not provide me the guaranteed emissions for the other components. So in that scenario, the districts will use the most conservative emission factor from based upon the EPA manual of AP42. When using all of those conservative emission factors and as well as the guaranteed NOx emission factors, the facility did not trigger any of the back trigger levels, and therefore back was not triggered.
Yeah, I'm going to have you go over that last sentence that you just said one more time. So you just said what wasn't triggered, what backed?
So
was not triggered?
Yeah, after calculating all the emissions, the back thresholds were not exceeded. So therefore, the backed requirements were not required.
Okay, so I'm still, okay, that actually confuses, I followed everything until the last sentence, and here's where my confusion lies. So there's a set of thresholds listed in the district rule, and it's, you know, it says when you have a modification of existing source where you have a potential increase in emissions, which it doesn't sound like this is that, it's a decrease, is it not, switching to this burner, roughly speaking?
Correct.
Yeah. So then another one is if it's a modified source, BACT shall be applied to newer modified equipment whose emissions trigger requirements for BACT. And you've just now said that wasn't met because none of them required. And then, so if BACT isn't triggered, then what's the basis for the 36? I heard you say that that's what the manufacturer says the equipment when running properly will meet, but what's the regulatory basis for using that number?
I can answer this one. So when a manufacturer states we will meet 36, we need to conduct our evaluation on that. And if 36 means that's a properly run unit, that becomes the emission limit. They've guaranteed that.
Okay. So, okay. No, that, I appreciate that. So for example, if they had said 38 and that also didn't trigger BACT, it would have been 38, not 36 perhaps.
Correct.
Okay. Oh, good. All right. So then I have another question, and that's about the permit to operate, which isn't really that old. This is only, well, 2015 isn't that long ago. So the original permit to operate, not the one that might be generated after this authority to construct, but the original one has some operational limits for the burner. They're in a different standard. They're at 15% oxygen, not 3. But I guess the question is for me, and I'm not quite sure on this, is once they go into the authority to construct, are the permit to operate limits no longer binding, or are they also binding as an overlay? Or can you clarify that for me?
Emission limits on authorities to construct are also enforceable.
Are they both enforceable at the same time? I mean, are they both in place?
I would say no, because that burner has been removed. So we can't hold them. We had to take out the old one to install the new one.
Very good. Okay. Now, these are just wanted to go through these things. With that, then I have a question about, so we kind of have this luxury, do we not? And Trevor, I'll kind of ask you this. So as of a few days ago, this thing's back in spec. Is that the short
view? The best available information we have at this time is that the source test was passed on April 8th.
So we're not in a position now to see whether or not this board is going to, hearing board is going to authorize them to do something. We are now just sifting through what happened to see whether it qualifies or not for a variance for a period that has now closed. Is that correct?
The variance would have protected them from the variance application date, which was March 12th. So we're essentially authorizing those past emissions.
Right, because if you say, as far as you can tell, that it met the standards, I mean, if we don't have the formal data yet, but you get a variance, if you do get a variance that only goes to the 8th and it turns out something's not quite right, then we've just opened a can of worms. So how sure are we that this condition is now cured?
Well, the variance that as it would be approved today would extend it to June 12th, from my understanding. That's correct, Mary?
Okay, I got you. So that?
No, it wouldn't at this point. We would be cutting it off as of April 8th.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So the data better be right, or it better come back formally as you witnessed it yesterday. I'm not saying there'd be a problem there. I'm just trying to confirm that we're all in the past on this, because I did see you're asking for a excess emissions calculation that terminated a couple of days ago. So we're all operating under the assumption that we're now back in.
Yes.
Compliance. And I'll just ask anybody from Granite Rock. Is there anybody from Granite Rock that doesn't believe that your data and your situation now is that it's now in compliance?
I would, this is Aaron Johnson from Granite Rock. The best available information we have is our system is back into compliance from the stack test. I do realize that the district has to formally accept the final results of the stack test, but barring some discrepancy or some reason that formal stack test would not be certified, I would be satisfied with Trevor's assessment that it's in compliance.
Very good, thank you for that. excuse me. So I have a few more questions about the fact set that's in front of us. One is from, I need to understand what the fact set is so I can determine whether we can make required findings to grant the variance. And that's almost like two sets of things. All the facts have to then get shoehorned into a set of variance findings. And I've got to say, these circumstances are a tad unusual. I've never tried to put these kinds of circumstances into a set of findings before. And as I'll get to them as I share what some of my concerns are, and maybe we can figure out a way to make that all fit. But in jumping ahead a little bit, the idea that saying that you lose all your business if you shut something down is an odd one, even that we'll have to flesh out a little bit. But now I want to go back to the data in the staff report. So I'm looking back. So I'm confused as to a couple things in the staff report. One is the staff report itself is two pages, and it's got a lot of handwritten on it, but I don't know if you're familiar. I had this sent to me. This is like the data sheet spreadsheet from the March 17th test, which I'm not sure if that's on March 12th. I'm not sure if that's like the date of the test or if that's the date of the reporting of the data from the December 30th test. Can I have that clarified, please?
That I believe you're looking at a source test from December 30th.
Well, it says,
is this best?
I got it from you, but it doesn't say it refers to it as 1Q2021 Quail Hollow quarterly stack tests.
Those are the in-house Granite Rock tests. That's the data provided from, I believe you're referring to the data provided from Granite Rock's handheld meter stack testing quarterly.
Okay, well, that explains something to me, because I've been confused as to where you're coming up with these statements that say NOx is included, although it met the emission limits during the December 30th, 2020. And this being the only data that I got, this has NOx at 15% at 18.45. And of course the ATC has the NOx limit at 3%, not 15%. And so right there, I had a little bit of apples and oranges. I did what I thought was best. I went to the Journal of Air and Waste Management Association technical papers and found a conversion from 15 to 3. And that shows to me, and I'm happy to hear how I may be wrong on this, that NOx at 18.45 on 312 is terribly out of spec at 3%. Is that, anybody have a different point of view on that?
Can you clarify the date of that test again?
This is data I received from you in an Excel spreadsheet, 3/12/2021. And I will say is that it appears to me that I've never seen the data to which you're referring. I thought this the only data I got. And now if you're telling me this is the first quarter test and not the ATC validation 180 day test, I haven't seen that data. It's not included in the staff report, and it's not cited to in the staff report other than to say that it's viewed as being out. That, so
did you say 3/21?
3/12/2021. I can share with you what email that came to me on.
I'm just trying to look at what you're.
Yeah, just also provide some information. You know, we're basing this variance on the fact of the data from the source test. And it's very odd that they also had their hand analyzer the same day of the source test, and it was showing compliance. So, you know, the district doesn't really feel comfortable right now using those handheld analyzer numbers. So that's why we're relying on the true source test that was conducted in December.
I believe I was under the impression that data was what I had, but now it sounds to me like I haven't seen the data that shows the out of compliance condition. I received an email on the 9th, and it had.
Yeah, you were most likely not provided the source test. I don't think we normally do that. So I don't know if somebody has.
Well, I have a question about it, and it's this, then going back to the, sorry to interrupt, but we've got the petitioners providing potential excess emissions of NOx at 211 pounds, but up two paragraphs above, we're saying that NOx met the emission limits. So that to me already seems that there's a, you know, something that's going on that's across there.
Right, and we advised Granite Rock that they were in compliance with the NOx limit. I think they requested to protect themselves because typically when you're adjusting a burner, because their CO was so high, they're gonna be bringing it down. So most likely their NOx would come up. And I think they were concerned that, well, if we bring our CO, the NOx is gonna go up, and is it gonna go up above 36? But they're not. Their unit has consistently been in compliance with their NOx levels.
So that also then brings up a question, because I was sent this data, which you now say was handheld perhaps, and you don't put much faith in it. But on 3/12/2021, they've got NOx at 15% at 18.45. And if you convert that to 3%, you know, that's 55, and that's well in excess of the ATC limit. So I'm confused there too.
The excess emissions were all based upon the real regulatory source test methodology, which was all converted to 3%. So they were in compliance with the NOx. Let me find that source test.
Are you talking about the source test for December or for March?
December.
Okay, so, but what you've said, I believe, if I understood you correctly, is that the variance between source testing and the handheld is that the handheld is showing stuff that's okay when the source test says perhaps not.
Correct.
But in this circumstance, the March 12th data, which is the handheld, to me shows it not anyway, which would make the source test perhaps much, much worse if we're using the same greater than kind of thinking.
Yeah, I don't think we evaluated the handheld because it was not matching whatsoever But the excessive emissions were based upon the regulatory methodology, EPA methodologies.
So does that mean that you have one and only one test that you've hung your hat on that shows it out of spec, and that's from December 27th to 30th?
Out of spec for CO and VOC, correct.
Okay. And did you not say NOx because you've never believed them to be out?
Correct.
So is the handheld test in accord with their quarterly testing requirements, or is that just something they do extra?
That is also a requirement of the permit.
But okay, so if that was required for the first quarter and I've got the data here and it shows it out of spec, why are we not viewing that out of spec as well?
I think it's just because the numbers were so completely far off. We are focusing on the source test, and we knew the source test was being upcoming, and the true regulatory source test is showing compliance with all of the values. We can ask Granite Rock if they had a handheld the same day as the source test in April to see again if they were matching up, but.
So you understand where I'm at. This is a variance request that's coming in with a start period of March 12th. Is that right, or is it later than that?
March 12th.
I've got data coming from the petitioner dated March 12th in this variance period. I don't have any data from within the variance period. You're going back 3 months, and I think I'm being told to disregard the data that came to me, that is the data that I viewed as kicking off this variance request, because on the day the variance request starts is the day they've done test data, and to me, it shows it out of spec. Not in spec that we don't believe, but out of spec.
The data, if you were going to be sent data, it should have been the EPA methodology source test.
Yeah, so that didn't come. Anyway, so you understand that when I'm reading a staff report that talks about this is in and this is out and this, and I'm contrasting it to the data provided me within that same time period and finding no, not so much correlation, not no correlation, but you know what I mean, that to hear now I should be using different data is putting me in this awkward position of you've supplied me with data for my analysis. I've looked at it. I've made some judgments, and I'm hearing something different in the hearing. So, okay, that is an issue for me. And then I just want to keep going on then for now. I may come back to that because I don't know what to make of that. And this has to do with mentioning some of the findings that this hearing board would be required to make to grant the variance. And I have some questions. And it has to do with what is and is not within the control of Granite Rock here. So I could believe that if they request PG&E to come make a interface facilities change for them and it takes them over half a year, I could believe that that is out of their control, and it's probably possibly not legal for them to do it other than with PG&E, you know, that it's truly out of their control. But I have a few questions about that, which is not necessarily out of their control to have their facilities engineers be able to spec equipment and know what's coming and how it's going to operate. So if there hadn't been an issue with the gas input, here's my question for Granite Rock, perhaps you, Mr. Johnston. If you had to change out this burner under a more ideal circumstance, how long would that of operation likely have taken to change out and get back operational? In like hours, days, or weeks?
Well, I'd like to bring in some of our operation people. I believe it's a week-long process. But I will say that we hold our suppliers up to high standards, and I don't think we met them in this circumstance. There was the difficulty of having to have the pressure gauge being changed. As soon as we discovered that requirement, we immediately applied with PG&E. PG&E did not live up to company standards, in our opinion. It took too long to get this work done, despite our, you can imagine, excessive urging and pleading at all levels of the company. We have Henry Ramirez, who is an executive vice president of the aggregate division. He personally took on the task of calling it when we were not getting it through our regular agent. So I would say it's typically a two-week to four-week process to swap out a burner, depending on what you find. But we do have the operation manager, Ben Stone, on the call, so he could opinion what the typical time frame is in his experience.
Okay, no, thank you very much for that. So, but I mean, I'm willing, that was really informative though. So it's not like it's a 3-hour operation. It's, you were saying, you know, 2 to 4 weeks. And I want to just get this affirmed again, and perhaps Mr. Ramirez, you can affirm that you viewed this as an unusual and untoward delay by PG&E, and you were taking all reasonable or even over and above actions to get them to tend to this?
Yes, it was unreasonable. I mean, it from the time that we requested it to the time that we placed it, it took almost 9 months. In totality, I think that the job took them roughly 2 hours to get done. So it was pretty frustrating from that standpoint, from the time that we asked to the time the job was actually done.
Could you just state for the record, like how often and what level of prodding and urging you were involved with to PG&E?
We talked to our account rep. We talked to the field people. I think we talked to everybody who would listen to us.
So it's not just something that you requested in July and sat there until this March?
No, we didn't wait. We did not wait till July. We repeated phone calls, repeated requests ad nauseum would be a good way to describe it. We were pretty frustrated with the process with PG&E to get done. I can't describe how frustrating it is.
Okay, no, good. And keep in mind, I have to, part of the findings is understanding the what's out of your control. And so it sounds to me that there's a factor that goes into PG&E. I will say though, I mean, you sort of got yourself into the situation a tad by there was some miscommunication and specifications and something somewhere. Is that an unfair statement? That probably something that I'm going to look at you both and say that you're not likely to run into this circumstance again, having gone through it once?
I think that's a fair assessment. We hold our suppliers to very strong standards. And so when we request our suppliers perform to best available control technology, we're pretty rigorous about that. The contracts usually have damages if they don't supply. I'm not aware of the specifics of the contract for this burner replacement, Mr. Board Officer, but to find out that the pressure regulator would also have to be changed upon burner installation was a surprise and is not the standard that we want to be surprised at in any kind of transaction of equipment. Said differently, we will learn to hold the suppliers more accountable. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. And I want to ask, there's this tricky thing for me in the findings, not in what has happened. I'm starting to understand everything that's happened. It's whether or not I can slot it into findings. And we have, and I'll ask this perhaps for, airport staff, if we have a situation where we have a volumetric, we have a percentage, we have a parts per million, I don't see a daily load in the ATC. In other words, let's suppose they had a temporary short-term, the volumetric percentages were too high, but it's out in a spot where it's not going to bleed out into the local neighborhood and cause a problem, but now we're more worried about daily aggregate limits. And so if it took 6 hours to beat your daily limits where it used to take 8, we could run them down to 6. But I don't see anything in the ATC that talks about daily limits. Is there some sort of overlay? Like, in other words, when you have a parts per million, is the only option to just stop? Because you can't, can you scale back the burner to make it come back? And that might be an equipment. I mean, my question is, was there anything that could have been done to run inspect during this time?
So when a manufacturer says this is how it's the equipment is designed to run, we require the equipment to be operating properly. We don't say, well, you can operate 1 hour and emit grossly, but you're under the 25 pound per day limit. So so that's why we're not saying we scaled back. However, for this variance, we did require them, for us to support this, we would not support going over 550 pounds per CO, because that would trigger best available control technology from CO, which they cannot meet. And it would also trigger offsets. So that is why they requested a daily limit for the variance, so that they would make sure they stayed below 550 pounds per day of CO, which is the backed and offset threshold.
So that's interesting that you say that, because I don't know if you have the draft order that was, you know, just sort of a suggestion to me what the order might be. And it's this finding that you're just speaking to that I was just asking about. During the period the variance is in effect, the petitioner will reduce excess emissions to the maximum extent feasible. So one of the questions is, well, was anything, you know, reduced or kept under a certain limit? It doesn't say 550 pounds CO, it says 442 tons per day, which I'm assuming is sand tens. So does that equate over to 550?
Correct. So the unit runs at 75 tons per hour. So back calculating how many tons per day they can operate, then we knew how many hours or tons of processed material to ensure they stayed below 550 for CO.
So appreciate that. And just keep in mind, when I saw 442 tons of sand per day, I can understand it, but I'm throwing my hands in the air. There's nothing in the record that tells me what that was linked to.
Yeah. It's the process throughput of 75 tons per hour capacity of the rotary dryer.
Okay, so at 75 tons per hour, is that its standard maximum flow rate or is that something you set it to keep it at 550 pounds of CO?
I think they never run at 75 tons. Reed or Aaron, I don't know if you wanna address the specifics, but we did discuss this with them that, you know, 6 hours would be more than enough at a maximum capacity of 75 tons an hour.
Yeah, I can shed a little bit of light on that. The throughput rate changes a little bit depending on the condition of the sand and whether it's hot or cold out. The critical piece in running that equipment is the temperature of the material. So it needs to be hot enough that it dries the sand, and it needs to be cool enough that it doesn't burn the sand. And roughly from what we find, 75 tons an hour is basically a high average. Could we run higher than that? Maybe. Typically we run between 55 and 75.
Okay, thank you for that. And I'm gonna go back to you, Mary, and ask again. So I appreciate what I understand. I'm going to put words in your mouth. You tell me if they're the wrong words, which are: staff is not opposing this variance request because they were able to keep the CO below 550.
Correct.
And that was because you had what data that told you they were keeping the CO to a level that worked? From which test?
Based upon the worst case test, which is the EPA methodology of the December source test.
And so Would it be fair to say that for you all, the two tests that were really important were the December EPA version test and what you saw like 4 days ago, 3 days ago?
Correct.
Those two tests and the other things are sort of noise, even though they're the required tests in the permit to operate in the ATC?
I would like to note that the handheld portable one they do does not test for VOCs.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, we're kind of worried that their handheld analyzer might be off spec because it wasn't matching up with the EPA source test methodology in December.
Mm-hmm. So I want to make clear that, you know, I'm just tasked with figuring out if there's a variance that can be supported with appropriate findings for the short, less than 1 month time period, basically. The reason I have to ask about all these things prior is because I can't make that determination without knowing what was going on in the prior 3 and actually 9 months. And I'm not going to let my view of what happened there stilt what's going on in this short-term variance. But if this was all reviewed together by me, which it is not, there are definitely some head-scratching things on these timelines here. I mean, one of them being that if if the petitioner Granite Rock was told by their installation contract or manufacturer people that there's a disconnect on the equipment back in June or July of 2020, how is it that it took until December to test it appropriately and until March to the Air Board to be notified of it to start this variance process? I'm not tasked with looking at that time period, but if this was all viewed together, I'm definitely scratching my head about something that, and that's, I'm not even gonna ask for an explanation. I'll just share with you. So it's outside my responsibility area, but I'm scratching my head on these timelines.
The timeline for the source test is EPA does give a facility 180 days to get the system set up and tuned properly before a source test. So we did put the 180 day December date on their authority to construct.
I absolutely understand that. No problem there. I saw that timed out to something like December 27th or something like that. It's more that in the petitioner's own variance application, they state that they were notified that the unit wouldn't operate properly in either June or July. And it's my understanding that that has to mean something. Like won't operate properly could mean that it won't run within its emission limits. And that it appears to me that that wasn't relayed to the Air Board until March of the following year, about 9 months later. And it seems to be knowledge that was able to be understood by the petitioner at the time. But that's not part of what my review is. I'm just sharing with you what my basis of my concern there is. And so I haven't seen that data. So now I'm gonna go back to Trevor. So Trevor, I haven't seen that data that you're referring to, and I thought I had it and I thought it was all misaligned, and now I understand better. So I'm gonna ask you again, this variance request portion where you say now that they have CO, NOx, and VOC, and those are the three that are gonna be viewed as back calculated for fee, based on what you know best now on data that unfortunately is not in the record for me, those are the three things that are out, possibly only two. And that even with them being out, you are below the 550 next level hard stop limit that you were concerned about. Is that so?
Correct.
Okay. All right. So I appreciate all the, you do see like this, you guys have been working on this all the while, and I got one set of data Wednesday and a conflicting set of data at 4:59 PM on Friday after, right as everybody was going home for the weekend. So, it's the first morning. So I appreciate everybody's patience with me asking. I'm still troubled with how I'm going to fit this into a closing. If you had to close this thing for 4 weeks, and I'll ask Mr. Johnson, if you have to close for 4 weeks anyway, like the variance period is 3.5 weeks. If you were going to have to close for 4 weeks to do your change out for the heater. My question is if you can't close for 3 weeks when you're running out of spec, because you lose all your business, how come you didn't lose all your business when you closed for 3 weeks last summer?
Thank you, board officer, for the opportunity to elaborate on that. I'd like to answer your question, but I would like to supply a little context too on the nature of the operation. So we are one of the few industrial sandglass quarries in the state. There's very few sources and suppliers that rely on the sand that we sell for the product. They have kilns that are running 24/7. These things shut down maybe once a year or so for maintenance. It's a very, very expensive operation to shut down and restart it. The emissions, it's six figures plus for them to shut down for a single day. If we do have planned scheduled maintenance where we do need to shut down and we are coordinating with them, there is an opportunity that we can stockpile material at their facility. We have limited ability to stockpile material in our silos because we're just constrained by the number of silos we have. So I suspect when we had our planned shutdown period that we had given a stockpile period or given excess material to those suppliers for that material. I never had a chance, Mr. Officer, to verify. It was 2 to 4 weeks. That was my speculation based off historical knowledge. If Ben Snow needs to correct my record, I'll give him the opportunity now to do that. Does that answer your question?
No, actually, and you've hit something with you that was one of the support pegs that I needed, is that there's a difference between a planned and an unplanned outage because you can do some stockpiling. These are kind of data tidbits that I need, you know.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. And now, you know, I have a question for counsel. I don't know, Mary Perry, if you're there. I've never not made a decision during the hearing, but because we're not asking to give authority to the petitioner to do something that they want to start like in 3 hours, instead it's all behind us. For me, it's more resolution of whether or not these findings fit. Counselor, do you know if I have the authority to close the hearing and then issue my ruling subsequent?
So I don't know if you need further information or testimony or documentation on which to base your determination, but if you need to continue, that would be appropriate. Or I'm not sure if you need further information or testimony. So if you wanted to continue the hearing open, you could do that. If you wanted to continue it to review what you already have, then you can continue it closed.
So when you say continue it closed, can you tell me what that means?
Oh, I'm sorry. So if you would continue it closed, you could continue it without having further testimony or documentation. But if you do need further information, I would recommend continuing it to a date certain open so that you can, if you need further information, request and obtain that.
Okay, thank you for that. And I'm not sure which is, I'm kind of curious to, I got put in the interesting position of hearing that there's data that explains everything that I hadn't seen, as opposed to the data that was provided me didn't seem to correspond to what I would been was reading. And go ahead.
It's hard to tell whether or not all parties have the information that you need. And so it might be best to try to obtain that from both sides to allow due process for both the applicants and staff, and to continue this as an open hearing so that you can feel comfortable with the documents and information you've received. And since you have not received the information that you think you need to make the findings, it's possible that not everyone else has that. So it might be a good idea to continue it as an open hearing so that you can feel more comfortable with the findings.
You know, and I thank you for that. And I've never done this before, but I think I might do that in just this one time. And I got a feeling the second round would be very short. And I believe that if we continue to a date certain, we don't need to re-notice. Is
correct.
Yeah. So I will share though as part of this, I'd like to make this variance work but I'm just still trying to slot into the findings hearing that PG&E was so adamantly pursued by Granite Rock is something I didn't know until now. It's not, and hearing that staff was comfortable with another limit that wasn't exceeded is something, but I still haven't seen the data. And to me, it's not actually in this record of this hearing board because it's just not in yet. I'd like to ask to be supplied the data that we're hanging our hats on. And I'm trying to think if there was anything else that I hadn't. And if perhaps I could get some correspondence from staff, Mary, about the 550, its basis, and you don't necessarily have to state that you were comfortable with it, but say that it was a factor in your and where that 550 is that's not in the ATC or is that in the ATC?
It's not in the ATC because if they operated in compliance, they would have never triggered 550.
Okay, so was that invisible to me up until you mentioned it to me? Perhaps.
Yeah, I mean the limit, if they operated in compliance with the limits, they wouldn't have triggered 550.
So, okay, so is that 550 in the rule 270 best VATC table?
Correct.
Okay, so if you told me before in the staff report or I missed that, I'd like to get a follow-up statement from staff that was a criteria for your evaluation. Okay. And I'd like to get the data, and I'd like to come back for a very short follow-up to a date that works for everybody. And if that wanted to be 1 week from today at 10 a.m., I will ask staff to come up with whether that works. And I would ask Granite Rock so that I can just take some time to synthesize this together to see that I can make findings. Anne, what can you tell me about possibility on timing of a continued meeting to a date certain?
That would, I guess, pretty much depend on if people are available a week from today, April 19th at 10 a.m., then we can go ahead and continue to that date. I'm looking around at everybody's heads to see if there's any.
I think it's likely that I appreciate everything everybody said and their patience today. I think an appropriate subset, we may not need everybody, but I probably have it figured out by then. Pardon me?
I am available on the 19th.
Yeah, and Mr. Johnston, how about yourself?
I can be available, sir. Would you require other folks from the Granite Rock team to be available on that date?
It sounds to me like you've got enough of a handle on everything that we've asked, even though you have referred to your technical people, that I don't think it's going to be anything referred sideways to technical people, and I'd be satisfied with your attendance.
Okay, thank you for that.
Okay, so I'm going to, first of all, let me ask if, given all of the discussion, does staff or petitioner have anything to say in response to this discussion at this point?
I'll just clarify that it took a week to replace the burner, not 3 weeks.
Okay.
The branch, we would not be able to go over a week without supplying our customers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I appreciate that. All right, so I'm gonna thank everybody again for their patience, and I'm gonna continue this hearing until next Monday morning to continue to a date certain. That is April 19th, 10 a.m. Contact information to be supplied. So thank you, everybody. Thank you very much. And I'll get you offline and talk to you about this.
Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.